Where in the world is Justin Wong? It's Overseas Experience, your international news update on 95BFM.
Yes, Japan has said they will release 1 million tons of wastewater, or the equivalent of 500 standard Olympic swimming pools, from the Daiichi nuclear power station in Fukushima, which was destroyed during the March 2011 earthquakes, into the Pacific Ocean over the next 2 years. The power plant's operator, Tokyo Electric Power Company, said the water will be filtered twice before being released into the sea, but environmental organizations like Greenpeace and neighboring countries like China and South Korea have spoken against it. And to understand the science behind this, I spoke to Dr. David Krofcek, who was a senior lecturer in physics at the University of Auckland, about this. I come what my first question on this would be, for the listeners who really don't know how a nuclear power plant works, why do you need water in a nuclear power plant?
A nuclear power plant, well, as I tell my students, is just a very fancy way to boil water, and you need the water to produce steam, because you get heat from the nuclear fission reactions in the nuclear reactor, and that steam then drives turbines, which generate the electricity. So it's essentially an incredibly expensive way to boil water, and the heat coming also is then recycled. The water is recycled, goes back in, and you have this continuous loop to keep the nuclear reactor cool, at a constant temperature. But as the water heats, you generate more steam, and it is a closed loops of water that goes around, and that's the water that is useful for cooling the nuclear reactor and taking the heat from that nuclear reactor and transferring it to steam and turning that steam via turbine into electric power.
Right. But in the case of what happened at Daiichi power plant in Fukushima, so what caused the water that's being used to cool the power plant, what caused it to be so radioactive?
Yeah, this is what I just described was a normal working nuclear power plant. And in Fukushima, of course, this was a tidal wave generated by an enormous earthquake, which overcame the border defenses of the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plants. This water is essentially when there were the generators that did pump the water around in normal times, mm-hmm. Were put out of action by the flood from the tidal wave, and that way there was no water to take away the heat from the nuclear reactor. So the people on site started pouring at the beginning seawater into the reactor to keep it. To try to keep the reactor from overheating and melting, which they're only partially successful at doing, as the reactor did melt on the floor. But that is the kind of water that we're talking about. There's extra water that's been used to try to keep the reactor cool. Now it's cooled down, but there's groundwater from the extra damage from the earthquake, and it normally flows under the reactors. And this groundwater now has mixed in with the nuclear reactor that is now open because of a melt-through in the nuclear reactor. And so you get this radioactive groundwater. It picks up nuclear fission particles from the nuclear reactor, and it would normally take it out to sea, because that's just what groundwater does. It would take it out to sea. So the Japanese engineers have been trying to collect this groundwater. First of all, they try to divert it with very fancy high-tech ground freezing methods to try to build an underground frozen
wall. Sorry to interrupt. Is this what the Japanese authorities called the quote-unquote ice wall?
Yes, that's the ice wall. And so they froze down a number of meters to try to divert. And it did work. It reduced about 400 tons of water per day down to about 150 or 140 tons of water. But there's still 140 tons of groundwater flowing through the opened nuclear reactor cavity. And this water is still getting into the ocean. But there are pumps which try to remove the remaining water from the reactor, and then this water is the water containing the nuclear fission products, cesium and strontium and all kind, and about 50 other varieties of atomic elements that come from uranium splitting in half and getting 50 different kind of nuclear fission products. And these things are trying to be filtered out of that pumped groundwater. And this is what is stored after the pumping process and the filtering process. This is what is being stored in 1,000 tanks, each carrying 1,000 tons of water. So you've got a million tons of water, essentially, in water tanks, which have been nominally passed through the filter one time. And this is the water that the Japanese want to, in, I think, a couple of years, release back into the ocean. Now, this filtering technique from this, to pick up the groundwater and remove the nuclear particles from the nuclear fission, may not have worked as well the first time around. Mm-hmm. And I've read some number that like 70% of the water will have to go through a second round because the removal wasn't as efficient as people hoped, and I'm kind of surprised. I think they should have kept a running tally and a running check on how efficient this process was. Or if they did, that we don't know about it. Anyway, there will be another round of removal of radioactive particulates, the normal nuclear fission product particulates, and we don't want to let those go into the water because they have long half-lives, particularly strontium and cesium, which are able to be absorbed by the human body, and they can end up in your thyroid or into your bones, and they then take up long-term residency there. So we want to specifically get those two, strontium-90 and cesium-137, removed. And it will take maybe, it looks like, a second filtering attempt to get much more effective removal of these radioactive fission products removed from the water in the storage tanks that are on site.
Right, that's quite interesting. Much more of a technical question, though. How does the filter system remove all those harmful elements from the water?
Yeah, this is something called the Advanced Liquid Processing System called ALPS. And I've been trying to figure out the technology here. It's a series of filters through which the isotopes react and get absorbed on the filters. So the process essentially is squeezing the water through the filters many, many times. And at the coming out
so
the other end.
So it's kind of like a huge chemical sponge.
Well, it is. You could call it a chemical sponge, yeah. And that sponge usually it's worked very well for small scale use. And I thought this would be a great solution for the dangerous radionuclides. And I'm kind of surprised that they have to refilter. I don't know the exact numbers of how much radiation was actually removed the first time through, but I'm kind of surprised that they have to redo this a second time. But that's the only information that I can find. Mm-hmm. On the open literature.
Right. Because the Japanese authorities, and especially Tokyo Electric Power Company, the Tokyo Electric Company, have said only a form of hydrogen known as
tritium.
Tritium will be left in the final product before the water is discharged into the sea. So what actually is tritium?
Oh, tritium is one of the heavy cousins of regular good old hydrogen. So you have one proton and one electron for hydrogen, and you have hydrogen gas. You put two protons together and two electrons, and you can make hydrogen gas. So it's the simplest atomic element we have. And tritium is one of the heavier cousins. So you can have a proton plus one neutron, if you remember high school chemistry, and that will give you deuterium, which is a form of heavy hydrogen. But then tritium is two neutrons and one proton in the nucleus of the tritium atom. And so it's just a very heavy cousin of normal hydrogen. And it has a half-life. It's radioactive. It has a half-life of about 12 years. And I think that is what will end up saving the situation, because the half-life is only 12 years. So after 12 years, half of that tritium will have decayed by natural radiation back to a non-radioactive element.
Mm-hmm. But should we be concerned about tritium? Like, what does it do to marine life or to the human body?
You should always be concerned by radioactive material, especially in large amounts, and especially if that material builds up in certain parts of the body, like builds up being caught in the thyroid, for example, or building up in the bones of the human body. Tritium acts just like water. I mean, it will live inside the human body, but it has a biological half-life as well, meaning it stays within the human body for a certain amount of days before it gets excreted, you know, on average. So it doesn't build up in any one particular part of the body. And the good part is that it, even though the half-life is 12 years, that tritium has a much shorter biological half-life. And I think it might be on the order of days or tens of days that it will leave your body. But really, anything that's radioactive, you don't want to put too much of it in your body, because our bodies are radioactive anyway. Mm-hmm. We have potassium in our bodies and carbon-14 naturally in our bodies. And every time we eat food, we were picking up radioactive carbon-14, and that's being digested and excreted through the human body. So the thing is, you don't want to have too much in one person's body at the same time. If you have low levels, well, this is what we evolved with, low levels of carbon-14 in particular. But the tritium also has a shorter biological half-life. And for long-term problems like this Fukushima, the 12-year half-life will work. It'll be one of the few things in their favor to eliminate the amount of radiation in the water.
Overseas experience with Justin Wong, only on 95 BFM.